minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Well, it was a difficult weekend for all involved with the Australian Open as the positives turned the lead up into a big negative. From Craig Tyler to the players, the politicians, who are all, it seems, crafting all manner of dubious lines to be kind, attempting to justify the decision to hold the event, given there are so many Victorians still locked out, just starting to trickle across the border. The heat is on, and it's only going to get hotter, particularly if, heaven help us, the virus escapes into the community. But that said, for the players, there's only one approach, and we don't want to hear the whinging, we don't want to hear the sooking, whether you've been specifically told about the hard lockdown or not, and that is, it's to suck it up and get on with the job, as Roger Rashid declared this morning, and he'll join us very shortly. But Scoop, it's great to have you back in the chair. There's going to be a winner. There's going to be some opportunities to advance for young players if they get a highly ranked player who isn't happy with his room number and has spent the preparation sooking and looking at the negatives. So, Scoop, there's a long way to go before the Aussie Open kicks off, and I can hear opportunity knocking. Great to have you on board, and, gee, I enjoy the mustachio.
Hello, Jared. You'd be one of very few in that last category. It's great to be back. I tell you what, it's been an interesting weekend. I've just come back from the Magic Millions on the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one
of Jerry?
He's good.
Yep.
He's good. He's still, I think, given what I saw on the weekend, won't be struggling financially anytime soon.
Any troubles getting back into the...
No, I thought I might, actually, yep, given that Greater Brisbane was in lockdown.
Mm.
But I applied for the permit.
Yep.
All worked...
No worries.
All worked pretty smoothly. But clearly, it hasn't gone down smoothly with the tennis players. Now, there was always going to be a risk that one of these people on the plane, even though a lot of them had been getting tested in the days building up, was going to test positive. It's thrown the tournament into chaos. That's not going too far. Everyone wants to have their 2 minutes or their 5 minutes of fame in as far as what they say about it. Novak Djokovic has been smashed from pillar to post. I can understand why people are angry. But let me just pick up on something, because people are missing part of the issue.
Tell me what it is.
This is what our chief health officer, Brett Sutton, had to say today.
Oh, I don't want to be a commentator on it either. I do reflect on the fact that Victorians have gone through a long lockdown. Tens of thousands of Victorians have had their own quarantine by virtue of being close contacts. Everyone finds quarantine tough, but Victorians have copped this as much as anyone in the world, and it's for them really to reflect on some of the privileged positions that others might have with respect to how their quarantine plays out. Victorians have done it tough, and they don't expect special rules for anyone else.
Now, just let me pick up on something here. Brett Sutton, who is a doctor, is allowed to seesaw and change his mind on things about the virus because it's an evolving situation. Fine. Unfortunately, he's not afforded the same right to backflip on opinions to do with sporting events. Now, he said Victorians don't expect anyone to be given any special consideration or exemptions. In all due respect, Professor Sutton, you gave them a complete exemption. The whole tournament
spot
is an exemption.
Yep.
You gave them 5 hours outside of their quarantine every single day.
You gave them entry to Victoria when there's been, 20-odd thousand people applying to get in, Victorians, hard-paying, tax-paying Victorians, and told to go and get stuffed. You can stay outside the border.
You and I both have family that can't get into Victoria right now, so I understand the anger of people. But don't sit there, and because it gets you a popular opinion with people, tell us that we can't give you any exemptions. The entire reason they're here, Brett, are exemptions. So if Novak Djokovic...
Special considerations.
If Novak Djokovic is asking for a treadmill or a bike or some weights, I think it's fair and reasonable for him to ask for them. I think it's fair and reasonable that we say no, by the way, if we don't have enough. But, geez, let's not backflip on opinions because it suits the popularity contest.
Tell you what the hardest person in town to find at the moment is. Someone who, from Tennis Australia, somebody who, formerly of Tennis Australia, some former board members, some former players who I've spoken to in recent times, and Peter Johnson, who led Tennis Australia's men's development for about 10 years. It's impossible to find anybody who thinks that we're at risk of losing the Australian Open.
Yeah, I can't believe that's even a conversation at the moment. How are we going to lose the Australian Open? Why?
I'm not sure.
No, and no one can explain it to me, but...
Someone said it had to be put up for sale for it to be lost, and if you lost the Australian Open, it'll become the China Open.
I think.
And who's going to sell the Australian Open?
I think we should come back to that. But I do think we have someone on the line, Jared, that might be able to explain to us what quarantine is like at the moment, particularly as a tennis player preparing for a Grand Slam.
Barbora. And Barbora joins us on the line. Great to have you on board from inside quarantine, Barbora.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
It's great to have you on board, Barbora. Normally, we're just having a great old time here in Australia, but right now it's got a little bit messy. How have you seen it from inside quarantine, given that you were on a plane from Abu Dhabi, which now has all the attendants on that flight in isolation as a result of a positive case?
We got the news after a couple hours we land. So first thought and first feelings were like I was very frustrated and sad and kind of like, oh my God, what I'm going to do. But I slept over it and now I'm like taking it how it is and we can't do anything about it. The health and safety is the most important, not just for us, but for the Australian citizens. And I can't kind of complain because I have to go through it and we see how it goes after. But I have 10 days more to go. So, so far, so good.
Have you, and I'm not sure if you have read, but there's been a fair bit of negative feedback from normally supportive people of the Australian Open. How have you read it?
Well, like you mean the Australian citizens that they are complaining about that about us? Or
I think that's a fair point. I think it's a lot of supporters of the Australian Open don't believe it should be on. And now that
we have a lot of fans, a lot of supporters, and a lot of lovers for tennis. And Australia loves tennis. But I also understand the people here in Victoria, not in, only in Victoria, but around the world, around Australia, that you had 5 months. A lockdown,
yep,
and you
indeed.
Couldn't go out. And
ring of steel.
I mean, so we have to think about it also from that point that we have to go through 2 weeks of lockdown and we are here to play tennis. I get it. We are athletes and we need to perform well, but this situation is completely different and it's a pandemic around the world. So we have to follow the instructions, what you give us. And yeah, this is how I see it.
Barbora, listening and reading on social media from different players, I've heard varying reports about how much you were told before you got on the plane. Were you aware when you got on that if someone did indeed test positive from the plane, that you would have to do 14 days of hard lockdown without the 5 hours of being able to train?
Well, there were so many rules and so many changes, but this specific rule that there will be one person positive and we will be all locked down, we didn't talk about it. But I'm not complaining about that because it was not the decision of the Tennis Australia or somebody else. It was the decision of the health officers that they decided if there will be one person in the plane infected, then the whole plane will go. And this was decided a couple of days before we land here. So, I mean, like I said,
Laura, you've got a pretty level head on your shoulders and you are displaying and enunciating a pretty reasonable perspective, I suspect, or I'm hearing. And yet that's not the case from some who are complaining and they're whinging and they're sooking it up. What's your message to them?
Well, like I said already before, I was also complaining right hour after I got the message, which is my emotions. It's normal. But the more we complain in social media, the more we are kind of, you know, not behaving. It's not a good message for people here. It's not a good message for the government and for the health officers. Because if we will, I'm not saying if we will be quiet, but just follow the rules and maybe some things can change, you know, and it will also help the Tennis Australia.
Barbora, have you asked for any fitness equipment or have you got stuff with you already to stay fit?
I asked. Well, I had mine, some bands and this and that, which I'm travel with. But I asked 2 days ago for a bike. I got the bike and I tried to ask yesterday for some dumbbells and some kettlebells, but I'm still waiting on it. It's not easy to be delivered for 70 players.
So, Jared, now we know who got Novak's bike. It went to Barbora instead of Novak.
Well, maybe. I mean, Novak is in Adelaide, so he doesn't need it there.
That's true.
He's got his own bike company, Novak.
Yeah.
Tell me, Barbora, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a runners-up and there's going to be people go out in the first round and people go out in the second round. A lot of it, I suspect, some of the smarter tennis players are going to see this as a huge opportunity to get one or two or three places or further down the draw than they normally would have simply because they take the positive attitude.
Well, that's what I'm trying to see it like that. I mean, also, I have to say that being locked down in 2 weeks and playing right after tennis on such a high level, I don't think it's possible. But if you put yourself in a perspective that you will play good, it's going to be good, you can play in some level. So I don't want to go down on myself, but I will try my best and we will see. I will be so happy to just run on the court and being in Australia and free to move.
Oh, there'll be plenty of movement when the 2 weeks is up.
I know.
Can what do you say to those people in Australia, in Melbourne in particular, who think that it was silly of Dan Andrews to allow this to go ahead? And Dan Andrews is our premier, if you don't know.
I would like to say just that I appreciate being here, even though I am in a lockdown. I totally understand and respect that. But I know the Australians, and not just Australians, but people who love tennis can't wait to see us perform and can't wait to see us live perform. And we need you like fans, and we need to feel the energy and the atmosphere again live. So let's just go and make it happen.
We're listening and speaking to Barbora Strytsova, world number 38, who is currently, I think, on day four, she said, of hard lockdown on Sports Day. Barbora, take the inability to train out of it, because I'm sure every player is feeling that. What have you found the hardest thing of hard quarantine so far? Is it the food? Have you got a bed with
I love the food.
Okay.
I know. I really, except to just one, it was great. I really like the food, but for me, what's hard is that I can't open a window and we don't have a fresh air. So this is really, really tough. We can't open a door. So the air is missing. This is, for me, the toughest part.
Mm. Are you volleying against the wall? And is your person who's in the room next to you volleying against the wall?
No, I didn't volley yet. I am taking this part to a second week of the quarantine. So this time, the first week is just conditional training, and the second week is only tennis.
Okay. She knows what you need to peak late in the second week.
I like it.
Coming off a semi-final at Wimbledon.
Hotel peaking. Tell me, okay, Barbora, let's go through a day in quarantine. You get up at what time? The alarm goes, or just wake up naturally?
No. I still have jet lag. So I get up around, today it was like 6:30. So I'm taking very slowly.
Okay, so 6:30.
Very slowly. So,
what do you do first? 6:30. Is it stretching? Is it exercise? Is it limbering up? Or is it eating?
Well, I don't have breakfast, so I just have my coffee. Yep. Then I have in an hour another coffee. Mm-hmm. Then I talk to my family because of the time zone. And then I sit on a bike, exercise around like 1 hour and a half.
How hard are you, cycling? How hard are you cycling?
It was hard today. I don't have the air here, so, you know, it's kind of like sweaty and you are finding your breath. Yeah. It was hard, I have to say.
Yep.
That I'm even tired. And then I'm taking a long lunch, mm-hmm. then a little nap, and then I'm going to exercise again in a while after we finish our call.
Okie doke. So I'm about two-thirds of the way through Homeland on Netflix. What are you doing inside the room when you're not training?
Well, I am writing a diary. I am writing some notes and also reading. And that's it, I think. I didn't watch any movies, Netflix. Weird, right?
Yeah, 4 days in quarantine and you haven't opened the Netflix app. That's extraordinary, Bob.
No, right?
Are you on social media all day? What are you actually doing to entertain yourself?
Well, like I said, I talk to people, I talk to friends a lot, and it's like 2 hours talk, so it's, you have like four friends, so you can count, but I don't really, I'm not bored, I have to say I'm not.
Mm-hmm. But Barbara, how much, just...
am I weird?
No, you're not. We're loving having you on.
Are you married? Have you got a boyfriend, or you got a partner, or
I have a boyfriend. Yeah. I just talked to him before you guys, yeah, and he just woke up for his job. And yeah, so I'm talking to him as well. I'm talking to my mom.
Yeah.
And yeah, also I'm talking to my coach. So this is like 3 calls a day, morning, lunch, and dinner, what he's doing, how he was exercising, what he was doing. And yeah, this is it kind of. And I'm reading a good book.
And this is the only media interview she's going to be doing for the next 4 weeks.
Now, Barbora, Jared, you've got a bit of time on your hands. Why don't you do a regular update with us right the way through the Australian Open?
I think so.
I will.
Would you do that? And if you do that,
let's do it.
I'll take you out for dinner. As soon as you get out of quarantine, I'll take you out to Tommy Ruff's.
Seafood.
And we'll have a nice old seafood dinner.
We have to do it.
Well, if you're prepared to do it and you're prepared to give us 5 minutes of your time on an update, a daily update on what you've done in quarantine, that's what we'll do.
Okay, deal.
Barbora, right. Great to have you on board. Let's hope there's a few of your colleagues bring as much enthusiasm and positivity even after a slow start to the event, because that's exactly what it needs right now. It's on a precipice. We don't need any more bad news, and we certainly don't need any soaking it up from the playing fraternity. So great stuff for flying the flag, and let's get going.
Yeah, let's get going. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming on, Barbora. Barbora Stritzova there. Great work from our producer, Lawrence, to get a world top
good start,
player.
Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, it's lofty standards. Is she actually going to come on every night?
Every night, 5 minutes.
That's unbelievable that you convinced her to do that.
Well, that's all right.
Look for the trusted Australian-made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian-made. Roger Rashid to join us after
this. He's not going to Tommy's.
Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day, where it's
Twitter is going off.
Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals and Red Energy. Roger Rashid, speaking of energy, he's not far away. Scoop, can you just tell us very quickly what happened in the cricket today before Roger joins us?
Oh, as soon as you asked me what was happening, I knew that they would be going away from the cricket. I haven't got a score for you. Australia were bowled out. I think they needed 320 to win. They batted for far too long, in my humble opinion, because they need to win, obviously, to win the series. A draw doesn't do them any good. Australia were, but the tail did wag, and as I look it up, they were bowled out for 369 in the first innings, 294. India, halfway through the second over, none for four. So they need 324 more if it doesn't rain tomorrow.
Well, it's just going to be 80% chance of rain, so
why did we bat for so long today?
Not sure, but why don't we just continue to play under lights? It's crazy when you lose time. But nevertheless, that is not an issue that besets the game of tennis, because they're into the 21st century.
How good was Barbora?
Barbora was excellent. In fact, I reckon she read Roger Rashid's article this morning, because it was an absolute ripper.
Page five, Jared.
He joins us on the line. He'll be guaranteed page one tomorrow. Welcome to you, mate.
Good afternoon, guys, and Happy New Year to you all, too.
It was a bit of the old school sort of stuff today, taking us back to bygone eras where not everybody was given a five-star room and flew up the front of the plane. It was just make do, and in some respects, that's the message to everyone in lockdown. You've got what you've got, make do.
Yeah, I think so, Jared. I think you've got to understand that there was a lot of information that was given right along from Tennis Australia. I think I thought they did a great job in actually facilitating that with the health authorities, so to get it right. And hey, this is our turf. This is our country. This is how we operate through COVID, and this is why we've been successful. And when you come here, this will be the climate. So like anything else, they're professional athletes. Them and their teams needed to be fully prepared for all the scenarios. And when they turn up, to be able to deal with those. And I just think the reality is emotions run high with us at different levels. Some people can bottle it up and actually be quite calm and sit off things and actually sort of try and look at it as a case and then decide on how they're going to behave. And then some people act within the moment. And I think the minority group that did that, I think now if they look back 24 hours down the line, they'd probably wish they didn't.
Look, it's an interesting concept. We just spoke to Barbora Stritzova, who said exactly that. Initially, her immediate reaction was one of negative, and now she's turned it around and taken a much broader look at it, and she seems pretty happy. I was really interested in your take on what's fair and what's not fair, because it was I thought a pretty enlightened view of the reality of sport, and that is, everybody thinks unless everything is absolutely even, then somebody has an advantage and somebody has a disadvantage. Most often, history tells you that what you thought was an advantage turned into a disadvantage and vice versa. And we're going to have some players in hard quarantine, some players out there enjoying themselves, particularly those who flew into Adelaide rather than flew into Melbourne. And I actually just think forward to a footy season when somebody has 6 hours more rest or 12 hours more rest. It's almost like a national tragedy, or at least it's taken that way, and yet you've put it into a totally different perspective.
Yeah, well, I just think that, you know, it's all mental. You know, have you prepared? Has everyone prepared the right way? I mean, if you come and think that 2 weeks of hard lockdown is going to jeopardise your success after you come out and you've got a week on the tennis court, and then there's Australian Open, well, that will fall on you, because you've had the off season to prepare, so you should be in such good shape that you could massage that. Also, mentally, if you take it on board, you've got a positive mind and view of what the lens looks like moving forward, and so you do your time in that respect. And so then, and fairness is, you know, there are people that will turn up to the tournament that will be slightly, you know, might have been training and they've actually got injured. Now, they might not have trained for like 3 or 4 days to get them ready for a tournament. So is that fair? Not necessarily. What about the person that is, you know, got the headache that night or is sick the day before and doesn't get all the training that they require? So I think it's such a moving target that the only thing that's fair is that you actually turn up and you offer your best. And as I said, fairness also, as we know in elite sport, the top do get priority in a whole lot of areas, and so they should. They've earned their right, and so you can play the fair card, and even, you know, outside of COVID. But I just think the reality is you turn up and you compete and you deal with the circumstances. And how many times, Jared, have we seen a player on AFL get 3 votes, collect 40 possessions, and they haven't trained all week, or a tennis player that's won a title and they'll say, well, I actually was sick 3 days leading in, couldn't hit a tennis ball. But I was so much more relaxed when I got out in the court because my expectations weren't as great. You know, the players that actually train for a couple of weeks or play tournaments for a couple of weeks during the Australian summer and lose first round, and now are in a crisis with their team because they haven't got a win on the board. So already their year's in a bit of turmoil, and they turn up to the Australian, you know, on round one, and they're working out how they're going to possibly get a win. So do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different things that turn up. And I just, as I said, I think you've got to step back, let the emotions be part of your delivery and be happy to accept the emotions of what sport provides, and you know, just put your best foot forward all the time.
If you just tuned into Sports Day, you're listening to the voice of the great Roger Rashid. If you didn't read his column that he penned in The Age today, I think it was on page 5, it was brilliant. Make sure you get yourself a copy. It is so fascinating, though, Roger, because I think a lot of people, when they read your article, agreed with you, and yet a guy that will go down, inconceivably, as one of the greatest of all time, Novak Djokovic, penned a letter that he's been smashed for today that included demanding fitness and training materials in all rooms, better food, reducing the days of isolation, permission to visit your coach and trainer during quarantine. They want to stay on the same floor, move as many players as possible to private houses with tennis courts to facilitate. And yet, it's so interesting to me as a fan, because this guy is so good and so physically and mentally tough, and yet it doesn't really add up.
Well, you know, as a tennis fraternity, where, you know, they're privileged in being in the quarantine bubble that they're in. To be perfectly honest, and you know that, and so, and look, let me say it, start first by 99.9% of our fraternity do an amazing job. They accept the conditions, they play with them, they bring the sport to the fans, they do so much off the court, you know, charitable work as well. So we're talking about a minority, bit of minority commentary, that I think Novak made a couple of good points, which I didn't mind. I think, you know, if you're all of a sudden in hard lockdown, could there be a you know, could there be a bike that was put into your room?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I don't see harm in that. Or if it was a treadmill, if there were, you know, could you possibly get 50 bikes and put those in a room or whatever it was for the players themselves? I agree with that. That's fine. I think Tennis Australia were looking at how they could make the conditions a little better under the climate. Moving, you know, I mean, the moving into a house, obviously that's out. You know, that's not well thought through because that's a massive financial cost, and you just, you know, again, you're putting the community under some duress, and that's not what we're here for. We're trying to make it a safe playing field for A, the players, but more importantly, the community of you know, of Victoria and Australia.
Any blowing over in South Australia about people coming in because you've got the tournament over there?
Look, there was a small murmur, Ger, but again, that it's you know, are they getting preferential treatment? If they were in a suite at in Melbourne, would that be the same as being just because they're 800 kilometres away? Yes, there's less people in the bubble. Doesn't mean they've got a whole lot more courts or a lot more time, extra time on a tennis court. In fact, I think they're they've got a half an hour less of sort of outdoor time. So I don't. There's no privileges attached to it. You know, they're in a you know, they might be in a two or three bedroom room, but there's no privileges that are extra attached to being in South Australia, except they're not with the masses. But does that matter? I think if you're in quarantine, you're in quarantine regardless of where you are. So,
Roger, as always, we do appreciate that half hour. By the way, it's a sort of a time thing. Like you're half an hour behind us.
Don't go there, Roger. Great to have you on.
I had someone told me that you had.
See you, Roger. All the best, mate. Roger and Steve joining us on the line. This is Sports Day. Plenty more ahead.
Jeez, you
for
like
McDonald's
that.
Scoop.
I'm
is
not taking
town.
Responsibility for that. Welcome back to Sports Day, where it is Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals and Red Energy. Tom Morris just about to join us, of course, doing his best work in Fox cricket, even though he is in the off-season of being the main man at Fox in footy season. Jared, the rain delay rules in Test cricket.
Been destroying Test cricket for years, Scoop. I mean, sometimes you just can't get away with it, but if you only lose an hour or so, or 2 hours... We got lights, and that's the big problem. We just haven't got a head around this.
I don't really understand why we haven't been able to do it.
Well, Tom Morris is the expert. Let's join him from up at the Gabba, no doubt. Welcome to you, Thomas.
Jared, Sam, happy new year to you both. It's one of the most bizarre things in Test cricket that the rain rules and any delay in play continues to plague the game, and yet the ICC sits on its hands and does nothing to fix it. And you have people paying to come into the ground to watch cricket. You have broadcasters paying big money to broadcast it. And you have the governing body, which really is a toothless tiger, sitting there worrying about other things like how to keep the Indian cricket board happy. It is bizarre. It's been a problem for a while.
Why don't just the governing bodies just work it out between themselves? I mean, I know India don't like playing at night, or at least they say that, a test cricket.
Yeah.
But why don't they just say, well, stuff you, we're going to play at night if we've got, these are the rules, and we're going to play by these rules. Nobody can challenge that.
Yeah, because, that's like saying, why don't Adelaide and the Demons work out when they want to play and stuff what the AFL says. In the end, the ICC works out the scheduling and the fixturing.
Yeah, but the one's a competition and one is a loose joining at the hip between countries. They're not playing a competition. I know there's this test match, World Series test match, but if India wanted to play a night test, then there'd be a night test.
Yeah, that's right. But there's a reason why India don't want to play night test matches, because it favours the Australians with the pink ball and the experience we've got in those conditions. So it comes down to what is best for the game financially, but also what gives the Indians the most chance to win. There's a reason why we don't play the Indians at Perth and in Brisbane on the same tour. In fact, the last tour, we didn't play them at either of those venues. The game is the BCCI. That is the game, and then everyone just filters down from beyond that.
We digress, Tommy, because India are none for four. We obviously need 10 wickets to win the test, and India don't really need to do anything other than draw the game. Now, there is rain forecast in Brisbane tomorrow. Are you surprised we batted as long as we did?
I am. I'm not Lavinia Nixon. I'm not even Madeline Slattery, but I've had a good look at the weather forecast.
I can't believe Jane Bunn didn't get a run there. She's gone with Lavinia.
I'm a Channel 9 watcher traditionally, Sam, and you'll be happy to hear that. But there's rain forecast tomorrow, 4 to 10 millimetres. I just think that I know there's a school of thought that you can't let your tactics be dictated by something you can't control, which is the weather. But equally, we set them 328, and I would have thought you could set them 300 or 290 and still back your bowlers to do the job and then have a good half an hour at them tonight. So I'm going to reserve full judgment to see what happens tomorrow, but I sense that it was a mistake to delay the declaration until we got bowled out.
I think he's being kind. I think it was ridiculous that we batted as long as we did.
How many positives have we got out of this test series? The bowlers have been a positive in general terms. Nathan Lyon's probably struggled to some degree.
Yeah.
From a batting perspective, Labuschagne has improved his reputation. Pekowski, you know, in one innings helped. Green's been a positive. But there hasn't been too many others, has there?
No, there hasn't been too. I think there's been more negatives than positives. And we've got to give some credit to India as well, of course. But if we can just focus on the Aussies for a moment, I think the Australian team disproportionately relies on four players, two batsmen and two bowlers, Marnus Labuschagne and Steve Smith, and Patrick Cummins and Josh Hazlewood. And even though other players have good records intermittently around that, we know that David Warner's been injured and Nathan Lyon has been fantastic for a long period of time, even though he's having a pretty poor summer by his standards. Essentially, the team relies on those four players. And it's very hard to win test series against quality opposition, even if they're missing a few players, if you're just relying on four cricketers. And that's exactly what this team's done. I mean, look at it this way, Jared and Sam. Since Adelaide, we haven't bowled India out twice in a test match. Mm. We got 12 wickets at the MCG. We got 15 wickets at the SCG. We've really struggled in our home conditions. And I think ultimately the Indians have outplayed us for the majority of the summer. We've still got a chance to win the series, but I think on the balance, if you're going to weigh it up hour by hour, I think the Indians have probably had 60 to 70% of the better of us for the series.
As we let you go, early flag favourite in the footy in 2021?
Oh, footy. What's that sport again? Oh, that's right. Yeah, the winter sport in Melbourne. I can't go past Geelong, Sammy and Jared, with Jeremy Cameron coming in. Sean Higgins, it might be their last chance. I think that'll be the pattern for the year, or certainly discussion, but I'm tipping the Cats to win the flag. But what would I know? We might know a bit more in a few months' time.
On a serious note, though, Tom, it was great news, and I don't say that mildly. It was absolutely great news when we found out that Sydney's Irish recruit, Brid Stack, had been released from hospital without a spinal cord injury.
Is it a fractured neck? Was that
so? She's got probably some bone, you know, damage, which is minor compared to spinal cord damage.
Tommy, we're going to have to let you go. We appreciate it. We'll catch all your stuff on Fox. Doing a great job as always. Tom Morris there joining us from Fox Cricket ahead of day five tomorrow. And there'll be more Sports Day. We'll wrap up with some country racing after this.
Scoop, this is the final word for Fujitsu. Experience year-round comfort with Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air. That is what Barbora needs right now.
Oh, goodness. In fact, maybe you could get on the phone to Fujitsu and get some air. Anyway, we digress. We'll talk after the show. It's time for a country racing update with Maggie Payne. You can visit countryracing.com. Maggie, was it the heritage stand at Camperdown that was reopened on Saturday? Because I saw some great photos on the weekend.
Yeah, it was, Sam. The grandstand was reopened. It was heritage listed, and the club put a bit of a funding effort a couple of years ago and got it reopened, and they weren't able to run the cup last year. So it was good to see about 1,500 people on course at Camperdown Cup, and the bad weather didn't deter them, and they all had a great day out at Camperdown.
Just off the cuff, Maggie, would you rate this the worst ever winter we've had this century, or the worst ever you can ever remember?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from New South Wales, and I know Melbourne gets a bad rap with the weather, but I've been here 5 years, and I think this is one of the worst summers we've had. But I think everyone's just so excited to be out and about again. It doesn't worry us at all at the moment,
okay.
Jared.
So right.
I think we're going to get a good dose of hot weather this weekend.
I'll tell that to my wife, that no one's worried about the weather.
So we've got picnic racing this weekend, is that right, on Saturday?
Yeah, that's right. And we're heading to Yay picnic races on Saturday. So for those wanting to get up into the beautiful hills of Yay, but I think probably the biggest picnic meeting we have across the country circuit is the traditional Australia Day meeting on Tuesday at Balnarring. So they're expecting up to 5,000 trackside. It's a real relaxed race day. Of course, it's a beautiful part of the world down there at Balnarring. So if you're looking to spend an Australia Day, I guess, beachside to the races, go to Balnarring on Tuesday, Australia Day.
Good on you, Maggie. Maggie Payne there from Country Racing Victoria. You can explore Victoria with their Country Racing, countryracing.com. And that just about sees us out on this Monday evening. Jeez, good to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you back, Scoop. How do we think tennis is going just off the top after... I was actually buoyed a little bit by the positivity of Barbora.
She lifted me.
And she needed to... I hope a few others get on board because we know that the Joker used to be the spokesperson for the playing group. He no longer is, but he is expecting, as we said earlier, you know, 5 hours training in the second week. Not going to happen. I think everybody's just got to shut up. Stop crafting all these lines that are fictitious from the politicians through to the players. Just get on with it. It's here. Let's just get on with it.
Yeah. And as we said at the top, if you don't want to play after 2 weeks of hard quarantine, you don't have to play. Mm. Don't play.
Simple as that.
It's really quite simple. We'll be back tomorrow. This has been Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy.
7:07. Welcome back to Sports Day, where it's Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals and Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that is, of course, Red Energy. Now, the latest in sports scoop for Vic Emergency, being prepared for fire could save your life, and it is that time of the year. Download the Vic Emergency app at emergency.vic.gov.au. And let's begin by discussing what you have done in your off-season before we get stuck into the highlights of the day. Where have you been? What you do? And did you enjoy it?
It wasn't the best break I've ever had, although I'm not complaining about a break because it was a long year. But no, a few things cancelled. I was supposed to spend a little bit of time in Sydney.
Yep. Yeah, I had a Sydney cancellation.
Yeah.
I got out of there on the last plane before they started taking your temperature.
Is that right?
Mm.
Well, you were lucky. And I was lucky to be able to go to the Gold Coast, although I cut the trip short a little bit and there was a bit of anxiety about...
Yeah, you fleed home?
Yeah. It was a bit of anxiety about them...
You took flight?
Widening the net.
Yeah, no, I had a few people do that.
I
had one daughter drive home.
Yep.
And missed the curfew by 3 hours, so that was good.
Lucky. Mm. Yeah. I spent a bit of time up at the Magic Millions, up at the sales.
Yep.
Saw a lot of... there's a lot of the who's who up there. Mm-hmm. Campbell Brown, yep. Hamish McLaughlin up there, right. Jace Richo.
Yep. A lot of who's who like horses.
Peter Moody.
Yep.
We spent a bit of time with a trainer that me and a few of my mates have a horse with, and he's trying to convince us to buy another couple, and it was a good time.
Very good. Well, let's move on to topics of the day. And courtesy of Jimmy Bartel, we introduced last week a rating system, the MRP rating for each of the elements of the day. You have to give it a rating, low impact, medium impact, or high impact.
Did Jimmy do what he used to do at the MRP and start from the outcome and then work their way back?
He tried to, but I actually just tightened him up a little bit. Okay, 72 tennis players are now allowed out of their hotel rooms for 14 days. Sorry, I'll start that again. 72 tennis players are now not allowed.
I was about to say.
Out of their hotel rooms for 14 days. High, medium, or low impact?
That's high. It's high and intentional.
Novak Djokovic's quarantine demands for all players. Basically, in the second week, he just essentially wanted to go back to what it was prior to the hard lockdown. They've been knocked on the head, and the government have jumped up and down looking for someone to whack and said, no, it won't happen.
High. Although Brett Sutton did his best to contradict himself.
And he did that successfully.
Which isn't the first time that they have done that, although it's usually about something medical. And as we always say, as soon as you ever criticise a doctor, Jared, in sport, you can't do that because they know more, and that's fine.
And that's until you speak to another doctor who reckons they're talking absolute codswallop.
Don't you think, though, I know that Novak hasn't got the best reputation for some things in the last few years. It's not unreasonable to ask for some fitness equipment.
I would have thought it was absolutely reasonable.
If you can't leave the hotel.
Yeah. Look, that's not an issue.
No.
They should be trying, just like they did for the footballers, trying to get treadmills and bikes and spinners and weights in every room. That just seems to me to be, if it can be done, let's do it.
If it can't be done, it can't be.
If we have to take 3 days to do it, well, that's a pretty basic, simple thing. I mean, and I would think Craig Tiley would have everybody hunting around trying to appease them with
that. It is their job, after all.
But if you said to me, I should be able to get in and have the pizza at the local pizza joint with my trainer.
Or go down to Tommy Ruff's.
We'll go and get stuffed. You know, bottom line is, this is Victoria. We've gone into lockdown.
Yeah.
There's debate as to whether this thing should be on or not. And I must admit, I'm pretty surprised at how strong a lot of tennis fans are about it not being on. Really strong.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that as well, completely. You and I are the same line of thinking there. And as you said almost a year ago to the day about footy, that the team who wins the flag will be the team that handles COVID the best.
Mm.
I am personally quite excited about a couple of great stories of runs of lower-ranked players going through into the second week.
Opportunity.
They
knocking.
Thought, yeah. Now, stuff this. This is going to be my time.
Yep.
There's going to be at least two of those stories, probably on both sides of the draw, so four.
You'd love to know, has Nick Kyrgios been quietly busting his ass?
Yeah.
Because if ever there was a chance for Nick to go bang, bang, bang. To me, I don't know what he's up to. But to me,
he's been under the radar, hasn't he?
He's been right under the radar, and that is good.
It's really good. Can we say the same about Bernie? Is it?
No.
It's not too late for Bernie.
No, it's absolutely way too late. Bernie's got no chance.
He's done.
He's cooked. I mean, he may make the second week again, but I very much doubt it.
Oh, hang on, you've gone from he's cooked to he may make the second week. Second week for Bernie be unbelievable.
Yeah, but maybe you said he's a chance. I mean,
I'm saying sorry. I meant he's a chance. He's someone I see given his talent levels.
Yeah.
If he's ever going to have a crack at making a quarter final,
you reckon?
Well, I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm just saying that bloke's got so much ability. If he gets his head right and he stays reasonably fit,
that's a big
two
if.
Big ifs.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he's got
never
talent.
Been fit though.
No, that's probably true.
He's never ever been fit.
No, in fact, that's definitely true.
So
he never wanted.
And even
physically.
Today, he walked off the court or 2 days ago and said, "Oh, I'm not that fit. The other guy should have beaten me."
I want you to go home and read the Herald Sun article about what his girlfriend
wouldn't waste
said
my
about
time
that.
To be honest. No, but I think that Kyrgios would be. He can't be a smoky because was he quarter final last year or semi final? Can't remember. But I think Dominic Thiem might have knocked him out in the finish. Dominic Thiem to me is the one to beat because he's rock hard. He is rock hard. I know Joker is not rock hard, but Joker's carrying on too much.
Too many negatives. And it still worked for him. So this is why I'm with you, but he's always carried on.
I'm going to have a little interest on Kyrgios.
Okay.
And I don't think Serena can win.
Can they, if Novak...
No, I shouldn't say that. Serena can win, but...
If Novak wanted to rent your house, would you make it available?
If he was prepared to play for the deep clean afterwards and all the neighbours were happy.
I'd love to know in the contract that you wrote up, what would be the... I'd go straight to the back page. What would be the price that you would ask Novak to pay for 2 weeks at the Healy Castle?
Well, it wouldn't be a 2 week minimum. It'd be you'd want 2 months, but it's available. It's available if the government changed its tune.
Well, Novak or Barbora, if you're listening and you want to pass this on to Novak.
Now, we know about the COVID test. We know now. Here's a big story.
This is a good
one. Graham Wright has been pinched.
Unbelievable.
So, the great partnership between Wright and the four-time premiership coach Alistair Clarkson is no longer.
Yeah, at a pretty interesting time for the Hawks as a footy club.
Yep.
You know, we don't sort of know where their list transition is at. Clarko's maintained that he's the man to take them through this transition. Lot going on with Jonathan Patton that they would have preferred not happen. He's been the glue, Graham Wright, in many aspects. He built that list, Jared. Carlton tried to poach him halfway through the three-peat. He said no, and they threw a lot of money at him. And I think, now, whether they were trying to throw us off the scent, Collingwood maintained privately for the last 2 or 3 weeks that they wouldn't be poaching someone from another club, and it would likely be
an in-house
replacement of Jeff Walsh.
Yep.
And I kind of just believed it.
Well.
Not the case.
It's early in the year. You won't make that mistake again this year.
Yeah, that's true.
So Graham Wright, a big announcement, it's a big signing, goes back to his original club, so that's good work from Eddie in his final year.
So they played together, didn't they?
Who?
Wright and Bucks? Wright would have been at the end of his career and Bucks at the
start? Yeah, probably.
I'm just thinking like 1 or 2 years.
Yep. Might have been even more, but would have been just crossing over if they did. Now, Andrew Gaff said he could sacrifice his interchange time to help more powerful midfielders that have less aerobic capacity.
Man, this is your area of expertise.
Yeah, look, I think the interchange is a myth. I think it's so overrated.
It's just so fascinating to me because so many people talk about it, and yet you're the guy with background in
well,
as being a physio.
It's gone from 95 down to 75. And the game
what
time.
What if it went to 95 to 25?
Much better.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that's a that is a serious difference.
Yep.
But, you know, 90 down to, and we weren't even at 90 last year. And I know it was reduced times, but I reckon we should have brought it down to 50. 12 and 48, 12 a quarter for mine to get a serious change. But nevertheless, I want to get back to this bridge stack situation.
Yep.
Because this has gone through to the keeper. And it's the greatest red flag without a serious drama that the AFL has been given. I've watched the AFLW since its inception, and I've been waiting for this. The AFLW women need to be much better trained, and they need to change the attitude of charging into packs head first. It's got to become a taboo. And I didn't even see this incident, but
it's nasty.
I have seen so many times girls just charge in head first, and I think to myself, it's only a matter of time before one ends up in a wheelchair or in a bed. And luckily for us and for Brid, it wasn't the case. She fractured her C7. It could have been a lot worse.
Well said, Jared. More Sports Day after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day. This is Sports Day, where it's Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Each and every year we have to do this scoop, and that is we have to talk to a bloke who will no longer be playing with the armour on. He'll be just doing the rest, doing what we've been doing for the majority of our lives, and that is sitting there and watching. And the great Harry Taylor, and I say that absolutely advisedly, the great Harry Taylor has been an incredible player over about whatever, I'm not sure, 15 years, I'll just pick a figure. Multiple premiership player, great state player when it was on, international rules. He did the whole darn lot, and he joins us on the line. The boy who grew up over in the West and came to the west coast of Victoria and became a household name, joins us on the line in retirement. Welcome to you, Hoach.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. It's good to be having a chat, boys.
So, you're back in Geraldton. Are you feeling the lure of the home turf, or are you just there seeing mum and dad ready to get back to the west coast?
I'm going to spend a little bit of time over here, Jared. That's the sort of plan we've come up with. You know, a bit closer to mum and dad and, you know, other friends and family. So we thought spend a bit of time over here and see how much we like it, if we enjoy it. Obviously great for our kids to be able to spend some time with their grandparents and a good sort of chance to unwind from, you know, a pretty hectic lifestyle as an AFL footballer.
Well, you're a legend of the code and you go back. What's it like walking the streets of Gero these days? I spent my 30th anniversary walking a couple of days on the streets of Geraldton before I went out to the Abrolhos Islands with my old mate Dale Wheatley. How's the signature repetition? Is it you're still as big as ever?
Oh, Geelong aren't a lot of Geelong jumpers getting around, Jared. That's one thing I've noticed. There's a lot of blue and white and a fair bit of purple, but... Yep. Geelong don't feature too heavily, so I guess a lot of people do know who I am from the Midwest. Obviously, Josh Kennedy, myself, and Patrick Cripps have, you know, got a little bit of notoriety, if you like, from being born and bred here. But yeah, to be honest, most people in Geraldton are like most country people, pretty laid back. You know, don't worry too much about where you've done, what you've done in life, and how you did it. Just as long as you're a good bloke, you're going to get somewhere.
Kennedy, Cripps, and Taylor.
Not a bad
three-man
spine.
There's
a few others too. A couple of Indigenous players from that particular area. I was talking to a few of the locals. Name escaped me at the present time, but I remember thinking, "Gee, they're good. That's a good pedigree."
Yeah, Paddy Ryder's probably one.
Yeah, Paddy Ryder. You
know, Indigenous background. He's had a great career. He's from this neck of the woods. Jamie Cripps is another. Obviously going pretty well at West Coast. And Jack Carroll was a young guy that just got drafted to Carlton this year, picked 42, I believe. So, yeah, exciting to see how he sort of fares over the next few years.
Harry, footy players often tell us, particularly during the season, there's not much time for reflection. You're not only a Cats great now that you'll be remembered as, but also an AFL Life member. How's that to reflect on?
Yeah, it's something I'm really proud of, Sam. I remember writing down a few goals pretty early on in my career, and I wrote down 150 games because at the time that was life membership of the Geelong Cats. And
yep.
Obviously being young, I wasn't a life member of anything, but I always saw that as a great sign of loyalty, great sign of hard work. And I guess associated those two things together. So Wanted to become a life member of the Geelong Cats, which I was fortunate enough to do a few years ago. And now to be a life member of the AFL is, something that I'm very, very proud of.
Reflect on the last couple of years, so close to another flag, Harriet. Was there any sort of lure to go one more year, given you've gone big at the draft?
Probably a little bit. What I wasn't doing was letting the grand final result decide my future. Whether we won or lost, I didn't really want to factor that into the decision. And I said that the year before, and I was trying to really believe in that again this year. So yes, it would have been amazing to win, and would have been fantastic for reward for all the hard work we'd done. But I wasn't going to let that decide on whether it was a good decision to keep going or not. I just wanted to trust my body, trust my mind, and the people close to me to help guide that decision rather than the result that had just happened.
Lots been made of the new recruits, Cameron, Smith and Higgins. But as we get closer to footy actually being back, I think people are going to talk a lot about how the forward line, and particularly those two of Cameron and Hawkins, are going to play together. Now, you've played a lot as a backman. You've spent time as a forward, Harry. How do you think that's going to work? And how would you, as sort of the captain of a defensive unit, try to stop them?
Yeah, it's exciting. That's one thing, that is great. As a Geelong fan and a Geelong sort of supporter now, it's going to be really exciting to see how it all comes together. Clearly, it comes with some expectation, but knowing the guys down there, they will really embrace that and accept that as part of, being an elite sports team and an elite sports person. So one thing, having played, obviously, on Hawk for a majority of my career on the ground, on training grounds, and then Jeremy Cameron from a large part of his career, they are very different players.
Mm.
Hawk, for a guy who's so big, has probably got some of the best footwork of any of the players that I play on, whereas Jeremy Cameron's just got a great work ethic in terms of how he can roam around the ground, very courageous, and is a very, very different player to most other forwards that you play on. Maybe, obviously, Buddy Franklin's very different, but he's got that sort of trick bag in some ways, albeit a little bit different, but just a bit unpredictable in what he does, and that makes him difficult to play on.
Jared, do you think Cameron will spend further time or more time further away from goal at Geelong than he did at GWS?
I don't think so. I think they'll just have him as an inside 50 player that can go up the ground like he did. I mean, everybody plays up the ground. Even the Hawk goes up the ground. We'd like to see him go.
Less so.
So stay a bit closer to goal. In fact, wouldn't it be fantastic if Steve Hocking, the mad scientist, actually determined that maybe we need to have a couple of people stay inside
zones.
The forward 50.
Zones.
Get a little bit of zone
action going.
Hang on.
January 18, the Z word is back out.
A little bit of restriction on those blokes so you don't have to all run like midfielders, Big H.
Yeah, or maybe with the rule change, 75 interchange cap, that potentially might see a little bit more of it. I dare say, Hawk isn't probably going to rotate much this year and perhaps Cameron the same. So, maybe he'll just see if guys stay a little bit more deeper to goal. I know Paddy Dangerfield does it for us very well, and Dustin Martin, obviously, from Richmond. So there's plenty of guys that can do it, and if they can empty out, who knows? It's going to be exciting to watch either way.
Any thoughts of coaching, Harry?
I'm doing my Level 3 coaching course this year, so that's one thing I'm certainly passionate about. I think to become a really good coach, you probably need to spend a little bit of time away from the game, perhaps at local level or state level, just to get a feel for how things work and probably work with some players that might not necessarily be as motivated as what players are at AFL level. It's a little bit easier when you're getting paid and you've got people who pretty well can sack you if you don't turn up to training at AFL level compared to when you're running around in the GNFL or the Geelong Football League, the Bellarine Football League, when you've got to do a day's work, then turn up. Not quite as easy. So I guess your coaching skills and repertoire becomes a little bit more diverse.
I went to the local yacht club for dinner a couple of weeks ago, and a good mate of mine, as I said...
The Royal Brighton Yacht Club.
It was a Royal Brighton
Yacht
Club.
Next to the beautiful dog beach down there.
And on the menu was Geraldton crayfish.
Is that right?
And Dale Wheatley rang me. I've told you this story before. 2 Decembers ago to say, stay tuned, we're in for a worldwide recession. China have just knocked all our crayfish on the head. And that's where I first heard about it, over in Geraldton. And it's amazing that all of a sudden we're the winners out of it in some respects, because Geraldton crayfish, usually gets flown up to China at about 80 to 100 bucks a kilo, and right now we're enjoying it, Harry. So it must be pretty cheap in Geraldton itself. You'd be having it on your Sangers.
Yeah, we give it to the cat and the dog at the moment. it's not quite as delicate as it usually is, which is a bit unfortunate for some of the cray fishermen. But you know, the cray factory, or the co-op as they're called, did a great job over the Christmas period, signing deals with I think it was Coles or Woolworth to get the product out in Australia. And it's fantastic that, you know, more people are to eat it, because generally, like you said, Jared, it's 80 to 100. dollars a kilo, and you know that's hard to justify. So the fact that you can get them for $20 each at your local supermarket's fantastic for people to try them and see what they're like.
You ever been out to the islands? Because you could do a podcast, you could do a 4 or 5 series podcast.
I reckon you asked
on the history.
H about the islands last time he was on.
I might have, Harry, did I?
Yeah, oh, mate, that's my second home out there. Yeah. I absolutely love the place. It's,
which is your favourite spot? Unique. Which are the islands?
I like the Wallaby Group. Yep. So there's four groups. The Wallaby Group's
the
one
rats.
Where the Batavia, the famous ship sunk. And yep. I just love going out there. And, it's a world in itself. There's so much unique, animals, bird life, the whole lot. It's a phenomenal place, and highly recommend getting out there if you ever are over this side of Australia.
My understanding is that the rights to the movie of the Batavia have been bought by a famous Australian Hollywood superstar, and he's setting up a big movie factory to film the whole shooting match.
Yeah, that's right. Russell Crowe, I think's the man you're alluding to. I'm pretty sure he's bought Peter Fitzsimmons' sort of book, who wrote a great story about the Batavia. And, it'd be a hell of a story. It's Australia's biggest massacre.
Yep.
That probably doesn't get spoken about or talked about all that much, but obviously a very tragic story, but a very significant story, certainly in the WA or the Midwest area for sure.
It's it took the old saying about eating your own to a new level over there.
Yeah, it did, that's for sure.
Harry, great to have you on board. We may get together and do a podcast on the Batavia and the Abrolhos Islands at some stage, but more importantly, just wanted to recognise your great performance and look forward to chatting you through the year as a retired champion, because that's what you were.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much for your support over my career, and love to keep having a chat whenever you're free.
Okay, on the way out, just a quick share tip.
Share tips at the moment. Gee, there's a few good ones, but I really hope if you've got Afterpay way back in March.
Oh, come on. That's not a tip.
Oh, get him off. That's unbelievable.
That's like saying Richmond a flag's favourite for the flag.
Yeah, but look, $9 in March, if you saw that they were going to get $132, you've done pretty well.
Oh, Harry Taylor there.
He's going to buy Western Australia.
Yeah, the great premiership star with the Cats, 280 games, and now
he's giving us
$9 into 100 after pay. Harry joined us for Club Mandalay, the must-play golf course in Melbourne's north. More sports after this. You're listening to Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. Mitch Creek from the southeast Melbourne Phoenix is on the line. Jared, did you catch much of the game last night, yesterday against the 36ers?
No, I must admit, I didn't see much of it. Scoop, so you're going to have to fill me in.
It went to double overtime. So 36 have got off to a pretty poor start. Phoenix were favourites going into it. Our man Mitch had 30 points, but they lost in double overtime, 116 to 108. It was an unbelievable game. I'm sure, Mitch, you'd rather be talking to us on the back of a win, but it was a thrilling contest nonetheless.
Yeah, look, you know, any time you start the season off with a loss isn't too fantastic, but, you know, to go on a double overtime thriller, going back to the old club, new team, exciting start to the season and what, you know, a year of NBL is going to look like, but yeah, we didn't come away with a win, but we took a lot of good things out of it. The boys are fresh and ready to go for Wednesday's next game. But as you said, mate, a lot to take from it, but exciting first game to start off the year.
I had a bloke shift in about midway through the year last year. He's a fairly tall, lanky sort of a bugger, and it turned out to be Chris Anstey. And I've been communicating with Chris on a regular basis in recent times, particularly through the lockdowns. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and in particular last Friday night when he joined us for a good chat on the NBL, he was glowing in his praise of Josh Giddey. And even on Saturday morning when I saw him, he said, I'm telling you, Josh Giddey is a superstar.
He's good off the bench.
And sure
yesterday.
Enough, he came off the bench and absolutely found some really good early form.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a question to ask how good Josh Giddey was, but he is a talent, mate. He's obviously got the size, he's got the length, he has the smarts and the IQ to play at a high level. I think everyone's kind of talking about him at the moment, you know, which deservedly so. You know, we all know he's got a very bright, you know, future ahead of him. I think with great mentoring and great leaders like he has with Adelaide and, you know, guys like Brendan Teese who have taken him under the wing and some of the other guys, he's going to have a very, very good career, mate. I'm excited to see what he does for Australian basketball and also for his career.
So you scored 30 points. Clearly, you'd had a big game.
Dominated.
What element of the game were you not happy with? Because as much as the lead changed 29 times, et cetera, I mean, when you're not putting the side away, you're probably thinking there's a few things that need to improve, which is always the case early in the year.
Yeah, look, you know, I thought defensively we can definitely make a few adjustments. You know, our pressure on the ball, guys getting downhill on the screens and kind of shooting a lot of mid-range contested shots. I feel like they made a lot of those. I think they shot 64% for the game and we were probably in the mid-30s. We run every single statistical category for the game except field goal percentage in the two-point area. So it shows we controlled the game on both ends of the court. They made a lot of tough shots and I think we missed. We went through video today and we went through and we missed a lot of really great open looks, kick out, wide, feet set, best shooters on the team, and we just missed them. When that happens, it kind of compounds that negative feeling sometimes, like you just can't put the ball in the hole. And when they come down and get a few easy ones, the momentum can shift just like that. So, look, you know, DJ was fantastic. We've got to try and control him a little bit more. We figured it out a little bit more towards the end, how to best deal with him, but he's a great player. He'll make plays and continue to be an aggressive scorer for them. We just need to try and attack them back and put the pressure on them.
Mitchy, coach, Simon Mitchell said after the game that you lacked rhythm and looked a little rusty. I'm just wondering how much, if anything, it might be nothing, has COVID wreaked havoc with your preseason, or you wouldn't, you know, you're not doing the same sort of things that you would be doing in regular life?
Look, there's a lot of things that come into that conversation. COVID's kind of kicked everyone in the backside.
Yeah.
I know as Victorians, we've done it pretty tough compared to the rest of Australia, but that's not to say that any restrictions, no matter the length, short or long, has affected someone differently. It's been hard for everyone. We make no excuses at all. We came in, we had two legs and, you know, two arms and one head. You know, they all played the same way. There was one basketball and, you know, they beat us. We don't make any excuses at all, mate. We just sit there, we go through the film, we get better, we develop, we go out, we prepare for the next game. You know, COVID's brought our team together, if anything, because we have had such a short window to get guys in, you know, quarantining. I know other teams have had struggling with guys coming in, getting COVID, you know, testing positive, having symptoms. They've got to sit out, quarantine, isolate. We've done that for so long as a team, we know what to expect. So if it happens to other teams, and it happens to us, we've already been there and done that. So we feel it's going to be an advantage in the long run. But fingers crossed and touch wood, you know, lucky rabbit's foot, whatever you need, that COVID stays away. So we can have a great season. We can finish it out, have a great final series and finish off NBL basketball the way it should be.
Yep, well said. And we're all touching wood, hoping that COVID doesn't hit back the way it did. Good luck bouncing back on Wednesday.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support.
Mitch Creek, South East Melbourne Phoenix star and a legend of the sport, joining us here on Sports Day. You can watch The Crown. I didn't know what that was for a period of time, Scoop. I thought it was about the royal family. But I've since...
Very successful Netflix program around the world.
I have since educated myself and tuned in, and it's a darn good program, a brand new digital harness racing show. It's Thursday nights via the SEN app, so don't miss that one.
Mitch Creek there joining us for McDonald's. More sports after this.
Welcome back to Sports Today. Tennis is on the menu, as it has been from the word go. And
I hadn't noticed that, Jared.
It's been a very big weekend of tennis. In fact, it's been a couple of big weeks as we lead up to the Australian Open. But Bora Stritsova is a person that's been in tennis for a long time now. She's been a top 20 player. She's been there. She's been everywhere. Her highest ranking is about 16. She's one of the eldest states women, if you like, of the sport. And she's been kind enough to join us to talk about the mess
from
that
quarantine.
Is the Australian Open from inside a hotel room with bars on it. Welcome to you, Barbora.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
It's great to have you on board, Barbora. Normally, we're just having a great old time here in Australia, but right now it's got a little bit messy. How have you seen it from inside quarantine, given that you were on a plane from Abu Dhabi, which now has all the attendants on that flight in isolation as a result of a positive case?
I mean, we got the news after a couple hours we land. So first thought and first feelings were like I was very frustrated and sad and kind of like, oh my God, what I'm going to do. But I slept over it and now I'm like taking it how it is and we can't do anything about it. The health and safety is the most important, not just for us, but for the Australian citizens. And yeah, I can't kind of complain because I have to go through it and we see how it goes after, but I have 10 days more to go. So, so far, so good.
Have you, and I'm not sure if you have read, but there's been a fair bit of negative feedback from normally supportive people of the Australian Open. How have you read it?
Well, like you mean the Australian citizens that they are complaining about that about us, or
I think that's a fair point. I think it's a lot of supporters of the Australian Open don't believe it should be on, and now that
yeah,
we've had
I know they are. A lot of, we have a lot of fans, a lot of supporters, and a lot of lovers for tennis. And I mean, Australia loves tennis, but I also understand the people here in Victoria, not in, only in Victoria, but around the world, around Australia, that you had 5 months. A lockdown,
yep,
and you
indeed.
Couldn't go out. And
Ring of Steel.
I mean, yeah. So we have to think about it also from that point that we have to go through 2 weeks of lockdown, and we are here to play tennis. I get it. We are athletes, and we need to perform well. But this is this situation is completely different, and it's just it's a pandemic around the world. So we have to follow the instructions what you give us, and. Yeah, this is how I see it.
Barbara, listening and reading on social media from different players, I've heard varying reports about how much you were told before you got on the plane. Were you aware when you got on that if someone did indeed test positive from the plane, that you would have to do 14 days of hard lockdown without the 5 hours of being able to train?
Well, there were so many rules and so many changes, but this specific rule that there will be one person positive and we will be all locked down, we didn't talk about it. But I'm not complaining about that because it was not the decision of the Tennis Australia or somebody else. It was the decision of the health officers that they decided if there will be one person in the plane infected, then all the whole plane will go. And this was decided a couple of days before we land here. So, I mean, like I said before, the safety and the health is really important. So I kind of understand.
Barbara, you've got a pretty level head on your shoulders and you are displaying and enunciating a pretty reasonable perspective, I suspect, or I'm hearing. And yet that's not the case from some who are complaining and they're whinging and they're sooking it up. What's your message to them?
Well, like I said already before, I was also complaining right hour after I got the message, which is my emotions. It's normal. But the more we complain in social media, the more we are kind of, you know, not behaving. It's not a good message for people here. It's not a good message for the government and for the health officers, because if we will, I'm not saying if we will be quiet, but just follow the rules and maybe some things can change, you know, and it will also help the Tennis Australia.
Barbara, have you asked for any fitness equipment or have you got stuff with you already to stay fit?
I asked, well, I had mine, some bands and this and that, which I'm travel with, but I asked 2 days ago for a bike. I got the bike and I tried to ask yesterday for some dumbbells and some kettlebells, but I'm still waiting on it. It's not easy to be delivered for 70 players.
So, Jared, now we know who got Novak's bike. It went to Barbara instead of Novak.
Well,
maybe. That, I mean, Novak is in Adelaide, so he doesn't need it there.
That's true.
He's got his own bike company, Novak.
Yeah.
Tell me, Barbara, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a runners-up and there's going to be people go out in the first round and people go out in the second round. A lot of it, I suspect, some of the smarter tennis players are going to see this as a huge opportunity to get one or two or three places or further down the draw than they normally would have simply because they take the positive attitude.
Well, that's what I'm trying to see it like that. I mean, also, I have to say that being locked down in 2 weeks and playing right after tennis on such a high level, I don't think it's possible. But if you put yourself in a perspective that you will play good, it's going to be good, you can play in some level. So I don't want to go down on myself, but I will try my best and we will see. I will be so happy to just run on the court and being in Australia and free to move.
Oh, there'll be plenty of movement when the 2 weeks is up.
I know.
Can what do you say to those people in Australia, in Melbourne in particular, who think that it was silly of Dan Andrews to allow this to go ahead? And Dan Andrews is our premier, if you don't know.
I would like to say just that I appreciate being here, even though I am in a lockdown. I totally understand and respect that. But I know the Australians, and not just Australians, but people who love tennis can't wait to see us perform and can't wait to see us live perform. And we need you like fans, and we need to feel the energy and the atmosphere again live. So let's just go and make it happen.
We're listening and speaking to Barbora Strytsova, world number 38, who is currently, I think, on day four, she said, of hard lockdown on Sports Day. Barbora, take the inability to train out of it, because I'm sure every player is feeling that. What have you found the hardest thing of hard quarantine so far? Is it the food? Have you got a bed with
I love the food. Okay. Kind of. I really, except to just one, it was great. I really like the food, but for me, what's hard is that I can't open a window and we don't have a fresh air. So this is really, really tough. We can't open a door. So the air is missing. This is for me the toughest part.
Mm. Are you volleying against the wall? And is your person who's in the room next to you volleying against the wall?
No, I didn't volley yet. I am taking this part to a second week of the quarantine. So this time, the first week is just conditional training and the second week is only tennis. Okay.
She knows what you need to peak late in the second week.
I like it.
Coming off a semi-final at Wimbledon.
Hotel peaking. Tell me, okay, Barbora, let's go through a day in quarantine. You get up at what time? The alarm goes or just wake up naturally?
No. I still have jet lag. So I get up around, today it was like 6:30. So I'm taking very slowly.
Okay, so 6:30. Very slowly. So, what do you do first? Is it stretching? Is it exercise? Is it limbering up? Or is it eating?
Well, I don't have breakfast, so I just have my coffee. Yep. Then I have in an hour another coffee. Mm-hmm. Then I talk to my family because of the time zone. And then I sit on a bike, exercise around like 1 hour and a half.
How hard are you cycling? How hard are you cycling?
It was hard today. I don't have the air here, so you know it's kind of like sweaty and you are finding your breath. Yeah. It was hard, I have to say.
Yep.
That I'm even tired. And then I'm taking a long lunch, mm-hmm. then a little nap, and then I'm going to exercise again in a while after we finish our call.
Okie doke. So I'm about two-thirds of the way through Homeland on Netflix. What are you doing inside the room when you're not training?
Well, I am writing a diary. I am writing some notes and also reading. And that's it, I think. I didn't watch any movies, Netflix. Weird, right?
Yeah, 4 days in quarantine and you haven't opened the Netflix app. That's extraordinary, Bubba.
No, right?
Are you on social media all day? What are you actually doing to entertain yourself?
Well, like I said, I talk to people, I talk to friends a lot and it's like 2 hours talk. So you have like four friends, so you can count. But yeah, I don't really, I'm not bored. I have to say I'm not.
Mm-hmm. But Barbara, how much just.
Am I weird?
No, you're not. We're loving having you on.
Are you married? Are you got a boyfriend or you got a partner?
I have a boyfriend. Yep. I just talked to him before you guys, and he just woke up for his job. And yeah, so I'm talking to him as well. I'm talking to my mom.
Yeah.
And yeah, also I'm talking to my coach. So this is like three calls a day, morning, lunch and dinner, what he's doing, how he was exercising, what he was doing. And yeah, this is it kind of. And I'm reading a good book.
And this is the only media interview she's going to be doing for the next 4 weeks.
Now, Barbora, Jared, you've got a bit of time on your hands. Why don't you do a regular update with us right the way through the Australian Open?
I think so.
I will.
Would you do that? And if you do
let's do it.
I'll take you out for dinner. As soon as you get out of quarantine, I'll take you out to Tommy Ruff's.
Seafood.
And we'll have a nice old seafood dinner.
We have to do it.
Well, if you're prepared to do it and you're prepared to give us 5 minutes of your time on an update, a daily update on what you've done in quarantine, that's what we'll do.
Okay, deal.
Barbora, great to have you on board. Let's hope there's a few of your colleagues bring as much enthusiasm and positivity. Even after a slow start to the event, because that's exactly what it needs right now. It's on a precipice. We don't need any more bad news, and we certainly don't need any sooking it up from the playing fraternity. So great stuff for flying the flag, and let's get going.
Yeah, let's get going. Thank you for having me, guys.